This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Taya tells us there's a mitzvah. As soon as you come to Eretz Yisrael, Velakachta mireishis kol priyo adama asher tovi me'atzacha. And as we read, it's the Bikurim. Bikurim, the first of the fruit, needs to be cut off the tree and brought to the Beis HaMikdash. And as we soon will learn, as the Mishnayis and Bikurim teach us, as the Chazal tell us, it was brought with fanfare, with a parade. It was a tremendous parade in the streets. Bikurim! They're bringing the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara tells us, Chazal teach us, that all the storekeepers en route to the Beis HaMikdash, all the storekeepers on the sides, as the people were passing, would stop working, and they would come out and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate the bringing of the Bikurim. And what is Bikurim? V'lokachta mireishis kol priyo adama asher tovi mi'atzecha. The first fruit. How much is Bikurim? How much do you bring already, Bikurim? Rashi tells us that you would go down to your field and you would see a gargir. You would see one small cluster of grape. And you would come and cut it off and bring it. It's a small amount. It's not a big thing to be Bikurim. It's not a lot. And yet, it was such a big simcha. It was such a big, exciting event. The bringing of the Bikurim. Why? What's so special about the Bikurim? Why was that the focal of all the Tumas and Maisris? There were so many types. There were so many things that had to be given. Truma, Meiser, all the years, the different years, sometimes Truma Gedoyla and Meiser, Meiser Oni and Meiser Sheni. That didn't get the tremendous parade. What got the big parade? Bikurim. What's so special? What's so unique about the Bikurim? Let's talk, what is Bikurim? What does it represent? And what is Bikurim to us today? We don't even have Bikurim. We have a Beis HaMikdash. You know, people don't realize. We live and we go to the shul and we daven and we learn. But there's so many beautiful things that we lost, we don't have today. We don't have Bikurim. We don't have this big parade, this big happy event in the life of a Jew that he brought his Bikurim. Maybe we do. Because maybe if we understand what the Bikurim represents, if we'll understand what is the sud, what was the Bikurim about? We realize that we do have it, and it's so important, and it's a big part of the life of every person, and especially every Yid, every Jew. To understand Bikurim is really understanding what it means to be a Yid, a Jew. I want to begin with the Psukim and bring you an understanding, a picture of what Bikurim is. The pasuk says, "V'haya ki savayu el ha'aretz." The word "V'haya" is extra. It didn't have to say "V'haya." It should have said "ki savayu el ha'aretz." V'haya, it will be. It will be when you come. Yeah, okay. Just say "ki." Savayu. Arachayim HaKadosh. Arachayim asked this question. Why does it say V'hoyo Ki Savoy? Just say Ki Savoy Aretz. When you come to the land, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, V'hoyo Chazal Arachachomim tell us is a Lashon Simcha. It's a Lashon of happiness. The Pasuk is beginning the Parsha with this Yesod. It's a time of happiness. V'hoyo. It's happy. It's a happy occasion. Kisavoyu Elohim. Explains the Arachayim. What's the happy occasion in this Parsha? And he says it's Kisavoyu Elohim. Because happiness is only in Eretz Yisrael. Ain simcha. There's only happiness when a person is in Eretz Yisrael. She'ein l'smayach ela b'yeshivas ha'aretz. You should be happy only in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Why is happiness only in Eretz Yisrael? And I have a better question. Are all the people in Eretz Yisrael so happy? Should put it on here. Are all the people in Eretz Yisrael so happy? Rabbi Yisai, they could be, they should be. You got to understand what is happiness. And what does it mean to be in Eretz Yisrael? And what about Eretz Yisrael makes one happy? What is it that makes us happy? So the Pasuk begins the parish of Bikurim. Know that if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're happy. And I believe that this is not the first time that talks about us being in Eretz Yisrael. Is this the first time it talks about us in Eretz Yisrael? No. Obviously it's happy, but it's connected to what? To the Bikurim. It's Eretz Yisrael. V'haya kisav yaloretz. Eretz Yisrael means happy. Simcha. V'haya is a lashon of simcha. It's a language of simcha. Yes, Eretz Yisrael, but particularly, specifically, when it comes to Bikurim. Bikurim in Eretz Yisrael is simcha. As a matter of fact, if you look at the psukim a little further as it continues, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Pasuk says, V'somachto b'chol ha'toiv, that when you bring the Bikurim, you'll be happy with everything. Ashano asal lecho Hashem leyecho ulveisecho ato v'halevi v'ager asher b'kirbecho. Rashi says, why does it stress that you will be happy? Here, now, when you bring the Bikurim, says Rashi, Mikan Omru. From here, the Chazal, our Chachamim understood, and Koirim Mikra Bikurim, Ela Bizman Simcha. It's done in the time of the year, in the period of the year, that it's Simcha, which is Me'atzeres, from Shavuos, the Adachag. From Shavuos to Sukkis is happy time. She'odam, Melake, Tvuoisa, Uperoisa, Vienoi, Ushmeinoi. Because a person collects all his produce. It's the time of the harvest that they collect everything in from the fields. Be happy! Avol minachag ve'eluch. But if a person would bring Bikurim from Sukkis and on, he brings it, but it's not with the same parade, with the same coming to the Beis HaMikdash, and saying the whole, as we're going to learn, the whole Arami Oivid Ovi, Hashem, you gave me, I thank you. I have a question, Rabbi Yisai. We're always taught that happiness is not about how much food you collect and how much parnasa you make. It should have been, you know when? From Sukkot. Because Sukkot, Torah, we sit in a sukkah. This is what we tell a person, it's Zman Simcha. It's the time of happiness. Now, I'm not undermining, and I'm not belittling happiness which comes from physical and monetary things. I'm not. The Torah wants you to be happy with a good house. Like it says, you should be happy. Whatever Hashem gives you monetarily. I'm not undermining, I'm not belittling it. But you see that we want you to bring it only Bizman Simcha. The time that you bring in your produce. What are you collecting? He's melake tvuosoi. He's collecting his tvua, his peiros, his wine. And that's called the Zman of Simcha. I would have wanted that you should bring the Bikurim in a time of Simcha. The Simcha of spiritual Chanukah. Chanukah is such a spiritual time. And of course I understand Chanukah is not the times of the Torah. It's much later. But I'm just giving you an example of times where people are happy spiritually. Simcha, Pesach, Zman Cherus, Zman Gula, beautiful. Why is the Zman Simcha in the Bikurim Parsha the collecting of monetary valuables? But we do see something, that Bikurim and Simcha are connected. Bikurim and Simcha are connected. Vahoyo, happy. There's something about this period and the bringing of the Bikurim that brings out tremendous simcha, tremendous happiness. What is it? What is it about Bikurim? It brings out happiness. What is it? Abba Yisai, what is it? Yeah, it's a good question, huh? It's a great question. What is it that brings out happiness? What, the Bikurim is an expression of Simcha. Let me tell you something interesting. There's a Balaturim. The Balaturim says, the Hoya connects this parsha to the previous parsha. The reason why it says V'hoya and not just Kisavoy, because V'hoya L'chaber, to connect this parsha to the previous parsha. And what was the previous parsha? Mechias HaMalek. It's the Balaturim. Balaturim on the spot, here. The Rishon, the Balaturim. And what is the lesson? Kisavoy L'aretz. The minute you come into the land, your first order of business is to get rid of Amalek, destroy Amalek. Why do we have to learn in the parsha of Bikurim to destroy Amalek? We need a remez that the first order of business is to destroy Amalek. We're talking about parshas Bikurim. Tzichim lechaber, we have to connect the destruction of Amalek to the parsha of Bikurim. Not kesher, what's connection? What's the connection? It's a great shaila. The Charedim and the Shlach HaKadosh talk about this question. What is the chibur? What is the connection between Amalek and getting rid of Amalek? And when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you have to get rid of Amalek? And bringing up Bikurim. The Shlach speaks different Pshatim, the Charedim speaks. I would like to introduce to you, offer you a very nice Pshat. We need to understand what is Bikurim. What is Bikurim? And like we spoke before, it's such an important part in Klal Yisrael. It's such an important mitzvah. They paraded the Bikurim in the streets. What is Bikurim? And the answer is, Rashi clearly tells us, V'yonisa v'yomarta, when you come to the Kayin with the Bikurim, you tell the Kayin, V'yonisa v'yomarta, you should come and speak loud and declare, Lifnei Hashem Aleikecha, Arami Oyvirov, says, Rashi, what am I declaring? I'm declaring, She'eneni Kafui Taif. That's what I'm declaring. V'amar te'ela, Rashi says, Pasigimel, She'encha Kafui Taif. Bikurim is Hakaras Hataif. Recognizing the good. Bikurim represents the act and the expression of I am makir toiv to Hashem for what He gave me. Kisavoyu al aretz, I come to Eretz Yisrael, I say, Rabbeinu Shalom, I understand. You gave me Eretz Yisrael, you gave me a home, you gave me a field, you gave me produce. By bringing the Bikurim, I'm announcing that I have Hakarat HaTov. I have Hakarat HaTov. V'yonisa v'amarta. That what? What are you saying when you bring the Bikurim? That you're not a Kafui Toif. Reb Yeruchim, the great Mashgiach, explains that there's a very important part of bringing Bikurim is to be besimcha, is to be happy. It's something I must be, I have to be in a state of happiness when I bring the Bikurim. Why? Says Rabbi Yeruchim, because that's all part of the Hakaras HaTov. You know how you show appreciation? You show appreciation by showing that you're happy with what you got. Hey, you ever get a present from somebody, right? So you can tell them from today till tomorrow how much you like the gift and that you're happy and you appreciate it. Right? But if on your face you're saying it with a way that it's not, you don't show such happiness, so what are you really showing? You're not mock your toy. You don't really appreciate what you got, right? Imagine you write a thank you card and it's sloppy. You know, you can tell the guy wrote it because his wife forced him to write the thing. But he doesn't look like he was really happy with the gift. Sometimes you get these cards. It looks like someone forced the guy to write the thank you card. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, without the example I gave you, Hakaras HaTov means, Hakaras HaTov means that you got to be happy to show the person that you appreciate the gift. That's how Rabbi Yeruchim, the Heiligetz Mashkiach Rabbi Yeruchim from the Mir, explains the mitzvah of Simcha, the importance, the emphasis of Simcha. Because that's part of being makir toiv. Makir toiv means not just with words to say thank you, but to express that you're and to show your inner happiness. That's called hakarat toiv. I would add, and I've always felt this is true, that it's not only to show that you're makir toiv, but that when you are makir toiv, you will be besimcha. I'm going to teach you a lesson in life that's so important. People walk around unhappy. They focus on all the bad things. They focus on what they don't have. If you're a makir, you recognize the good, you will be happy. Rabbi Yeruchim is learning that you must be happy to show the Hakarat HaTov. The way we're explaining, and I think it's true, that if you will be makir ta'if, you will be happy. If you will be makir ta'if, you will be happy. One of the basic things that a person could train himself to bring himself to happiness is to be makir ta'if, to be makir ta'if. Because there is so much that a person could be thankful for, but the Yetzirah and one's bad midas, don't let him be makir ta'if. That's the inyan of Ahaya. By Bikurim, happy. V'samachta, happy, because if you are makir ta'if, you will be happy. Now let's go back to Amalek. The annihilation of Amalek and the kesher, the connection to Bikurim. One of the bad midas of Amalek, and don't forget Amalek was singled out from all nations that you got to destroy it completely. We got to uproot it. Minar vad zokein. What's so evil about Amalek? So there's a lot. Trust me, if you want to have an alphabetical order, all the evil of Amalek, you can look at all the Sfarim that speak about Amalek on Purim and Haman, bad people. But one of the underlying rishus of Amalek, they are kfuye taif. They don't have akaras hataif. In the piyut, that is said on Purim, we stress this. V'loy zochar chazdei shoul. Haman, which is the descendant of Amalek, represents Amalek and all the evil of Amalek. He was a kafi toif. To who? To Mordechai. Mordechai's grandfather kept his grandfather Agag alive. And that's how he survived. Right? They went to war. Shaul killed out most of the Amalekim, but he left Agag. And that night that Agag was left in jail, he had a child, and this is Amalek. So the Loi Zachar, Haman is a kofli tithe. You're trying to kill Mordechai. You owe your life to Mordechai. Mordechai's grandfather saved your life. Instead of killing your grandfather, he left your grandfather alive. So you're alive today because of him. Let alone that Haman was alive because of Mordechai in his time. Chazal, the Midrashim, tell us that he was going to die. Haman was the head of the army of Achashverosh. Achashverosh, his father-in-law, he was the head of the army, and he lost the war, and he had no food. And Mordechai gave him food. Mordechai gave him. And he even promised him, I'll be your slave. And that's the story. The Medrash says that he wrote on his shoe that you're my slave. Haman was supposed to be a slave to Mordechai for protecting him, for sustaining him. And then what happened? He was a kofli toiv. He was a kofli toiv. What was Mordechai? Mordechai Yehudi. We emphasize that Mordechai is a Yehudi. What does Yehudi mean? Haidah. That a Jew is able to thank. Able to be appreciative. You know, Mordechai was so appreciative to Achashverosh. He saved Achashverosh's life. Because a Jew is about appreciation. And Haman, Amalek, is about kofun toiv. Good and evil is down this line. Hakaras ha-toiv is good. Kofli toiv is what? Is evil. Amalek represents kofli toiv.
Kofli Toiv. Haman represented in the times of Purim that he was a Kofli Toiv. And Mordechai, Yehudi, to thank, to be appreciative. He protected Achashverosh's life. Appreciation. Good and evil. Bikurim is about Hakaras HaToiv. And therefore, Vahaya, I believe that's the pshat, that the first order of business when you come into Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael needs that a person lives with Hakaras HaToiv, with appreciation. You know the Meraglim. What was the big sin of the Meraglim? And the answer is many, but one of the simple explanations to the Meraglim, they didn't makir the Toiv. They didn't appreciate the good. They came into a land, Eretz, Sovas, Cholav, Udvash, and they didn't appreciate it. So what's the first thing when you do when you come into Eretz Yisrael? V'hoyo, what do you do? Amoli. And then there's happiness. V'hoyo. First you have to get rid of Amalek. You got to uproot the concept of evil, which is to not appreciate the good. And if you do that, it brings tremendous simcha. You know, Purim is a tremendous time of simcha. La Yehudim, ha'isa oira, la Yehudim, Yehudi, ha'ida, thankfulness. When you're able to thank, it's a time of happiness. Hanukkah, we also thank. And it's tremendous times of happiness. No matter how difficult and how dark the situation might be, if you have Hakoras HaToiv, then you have Simcha, then you have happiness. I want to tell you something. There's a Rashi which really, if you have to pay close attention to, because it's a chidush, and it's an interesting words that Rashi picks. When Rashi says that Bikurim is, I announce, it should have said, I announce that I'm a makir teiv. It doesn't say that. What does it say? What do I come and I tell Hashem? I tell Hashem, v'mar te'elav. What do I say? I say, she'eineni, she'ein ha'kafui taif. It doesn't say that I'm a makir taif. It says that I'm not a kafui. It should have said better. But I'm a makir taif. I bring the bikurim. I bring the bikurim. And what am I trying to announce? What am I trying to symbolize with my bikurim that I'm a makir taif? Not the, in Hebrew we call it shlili, not the opposite. I have to go backwards. I'm not a kofri taif. Say that I'm a makir taif. So I always give an answer which I think is 100% accurate, and it's so true. If a person believes that he's makir all the taif, then he's not really makir taif. Because the Toiv is so much, it's impossible to appreciate all the good. Lakir kol ha-Toiv yishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Could you imagine sitting, writing down on a piece of paper all the good I could see and I could, you know, you don't even realize. Walk into a hospital where there's a chayla, and then you walk away thinking to yourself, look how much good I have. I'm able to walk and to talk and to eat and to sleep. But we take that all for granted. Lakir tov. It's so difficult. It's almost impossible to be makir, to recognize. But what at least what? She'ein cha kafri tov. That's also important. At least you're not a kafri tov. The lesson is to be makir, to fully understand all the good and all the whole gamut of everything that's good in my life. It takes a tremendous wise person. here I have a family, and here I have my father, my son, my... It's so much. It's so great, encompassing. So that much we can't require a person. Shehe makir b'shleimut hakol hatov. Samachta b'chol hatov. Chol hatov. But it's enough to say, I'm not a coffee type. That's why Rashi chose the language Milamit Sheineni Kafri Taif. How much are you bringing for Bikurim? So Rashi says clearly, the person comes down to his field and he sees a gargir echod, one cluster of grape. And he goes and he ties around it. Yeah, and he ties around it a string and he brings it. It's a small amount. It's a very, very small amount. The Balaturim says that you bring it in a basket. The lokach hatena miyadecha, the kohen takes the basket, tena is a basket. Says the Balaturim, tena is gematria echod misamach. One of 60. Because that's how much you should bring. One of 60. It's a small amount. You're bringing a basket. It's a small little. You imagine the shalachmanis. You ever see shalachmanis? You have these big, huge shalachmanis, right? You ever see, right? Cost a few hundred dollars. That's not what you're bringing. You bring a little basket. It's a little bit. Yeah. And he brings it. So what's the big thing? What are you bringing? It's very little. And yet, what do? You make a whole parade out of it. And everybody comes out. And the answer is very simple. When a person brings Bikurim, the idea of the Bikurim is to understand that you can't bring all of what you owe Hashem. If you had to bring what you owe Hashem, you would need trucks and trucks, and that still would not be enough. So what do you bring? You bring a little bit. The Chizkuni says, the Pasuk says, V'lokachto mireishis. From Reishis Pri Adama. Says the Chizkuni, you don't even have to bring a full fruit. Mireishis, even a little bit, half. V'lokachto mireishis kol Pri Adama. You don't bring all of it. You bring even a little bit, a small, a half. Why would you bring? Could you tell me something? Imagine you come to a king and you bring him a half an orange. Huh? The Chizkuni says, Mireishis, V'loy kol apri. I want to see how the president or the king does with your half an orange. He'll be lucky if all he does is takes and throws it at you back, right? Who brings Bikurim? What kind of Bikurim, Rabbi Zai? He's a Bikurim, Zai. You hear a Chizkuni? The lokach mireishis pri adomo. Mireishis, from the beginning. The loy kol apri. Here, come, let's take the grape and we'll cut it in half. Okay, we'll take the orange and we'll cut it in half. Here. He's going to ask you, who started it? Who ate the other half? When you see a half an orange on the tail, okay, a half an orange, but a half a grape. Let's say you walked in. Who would even eat it? Would you eat a half a grape? You see half a grape on the table. Would you eat it? So you definitely not give it as a shalachmanis to your next door neighbor, right? Never talk to you ever again. Imagine you come, you bring a box of shalachmanis, a half a piece of cake, that's something, half a hamantash, and a half a grape. Now, talk about bringing this to the Melech Malchei Amlachim. Bring it to Hashem as a gift, appreciation, Hakaras Hatayim. It's a bizayon. What does it mean? And you know what the answer is? I tell Hashem, no matter how much I would give, I could never be able to give you what you really deserve. I could never give you what you really deserve. It's just the thought behind it. Remember you say to somebody, when the gift is small, what do you say? It's not the gift, it's the thought behind it. You know what I'm telling Hashem? Hashem, the first thing that grew, I know, it's not me, it's you. Hashem, atata li Hashem, it's you Hashem who gave it to me. It doesn't make a difference what I give Hashem, as long as I appreciate. Let me tell you, Rabbi Yisai, we can never give Hashem enough. For what He gives us, we can never give Him back anything. It's a joke. So it's the thought behind it, Miracious. Hashem, I'm giving you the first. Whatever it is, it's all you. With this, Rabbi Yisai, we can understand something very nice. How is Bikurim brought in a basket to the Kayin? And you have to announce to the Kayin. The Parsha Aram Yoivet Avi, and like Rashi says, and what am I trying to bring out with Aram Yoivet Avi? That I'm not a kafri type. Rashi says, Vanisa Vamarta, Vanisa, it's a double lashon. Vanisa, you answer, Vamarta, and you say. It could have just said, Vamarta or Vanisa. Why the double language? Says Rashi, Vanisa Lashon Haramas Koil. It's a lashon of loud. It's not enough just to say it. I almost have to scream it. Why? But Hashem can't hear. The Gemara and the Halacha tell us you're not supposed to raise your voice in tefillah. You know why? Because you're saying that Hashem is hard of hearing. A person is supposed to speak regular, normal tone, because Hashem hears it anyway. Why here do you have to scream it, so to speak? Lashon hara maskayil. I'm not a kafri type. So could be, it's not meant to catch Hashem's ear, or even the kayin. It's for the people around. Excuse me, the people around should hear that you're proclaiming Hakaras HaTayiv Hashem. Maybe. I would say it a little differently. I would explain it a little differently. You know, when someone is humbled and that he has to come on to show appreciation, he has a hard time doing it. He says it very low. You ever see when you have to say thank you and you're forcing, let's say, a kid to say thank you? You know, he's going to say, oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, thank you. You ever see? When someone is, he holds of himself that he's, for example, a gvir adir. Imagine you take a guy who's a millionaire, yeah? And you tell him, you know, I want you to humble yourself and thank the shoemaker from down the block that he polished your shoes, because since he polished your shoes, he said, it's a chek, they're actually tzachek. It's a nice muscle. You like the muscle? So imagine he has to get up and scream on top of his lungs, you hear? The shoemaker down the block, he was the one who gave me all my riches and all my money. He can't do it. So what is he going to do if you force him? He'll say, okay, let's move on. If you look today in the presidential race, when the candidates have to admit things that they don't want to admit, you know how they say it? When there's no media around. Okay, next. Okay, let's move on to the important issues. Why? Because it's gaiva. They have to admit that everything is not you. You walk around, I'm this rich, big, honorable, rich balabayat, gavir, and he has to come and say, it's not me, it's all you, Hashem. It has to come with a overwhelming hakarat tov that I scream in the streets. Vanita Vamarta, it has to be bepumbi. It has to be in front of all the people of Yerushalayim. And that's called Hakaras HaToiv. Hakaras HaToiv, when you recognize really the chesed of Hashem, you want to scream it in the streets. People always ask me, I say so many shurim, I can hardly talk. You see, I was coughing. I talk all the time. I'm giving shurim all day and all night. And they ask me, what drives me to teach so much? Don't I ever get tired? And I answer the same thing. You remember what I always answer? I owe Hashem so much. I owe Him so much. For whatever I could repay Him, it's nothing compared to what I owe Him. So I scream and I yell and I announce Hashem's greatness wherever I have a chance. Because I understand that Hashem did me favors. Hashem did chesed with me. Lagid baboiker chazdecho. What does the word lagid mean? He gadati hayoim l'Hashem aleikecho ki basi al oretz. What do you say? He gadati. He gadati. Vamar to elov. He gadati hayoim. I tell Hashem, What does the word Haggadah mean? The Haggadah Shel Pesach, what does it mean? And it's interesting, in the Haggadah, what do we say? There's Parsha. You know what the word Haggadah means? I proclaim it with strength, with everything that's in me. I'm screaming out, Shivchei HaMakayim. I thank you, Hashem. When someone is really thankful, he screams it out loud and clear. Lahagid, 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 baboyke chazdecho, emunoscha baleilois. Lahagid, to speak the chazde Hashem is lahagid. It has to be with all my inner strength. Kolatzmoisai taimarno, with all my inner self. I scream out, Mi kamoicha Hashem, you're great, and I owe you. There's a beautiful story. It's a parable story that Rabbi Yeruchim, the Heilig HaMashkiach, Rabbi Yeruchim of the Mir, once said the following. He said, if you ever see two Jews having a conversation, two Yidden having a conversation, one Yid tells the other, thank you so much for the favor you did for me. The guy answers, and Badma. Don't worry. No problem. So the guy again says, no, really, thank you. Thank you so much, right? And the guy again answers, what? I'm sad. And Badma. So don't worry. In Yiddish, they say, Nishtaf Avas. Not for anything, it's fine. Nisht, right? Nishtaf Avas. That's the expression back in Yiddish. So the guy says it a third time. No, but really, thank you so much. And the guy says, okay. And Bad Mom said it. So he says, what do you understand in this conversation? That this guy's a Makir Toiv tremendously. And that's why he keeps on repeating, thank you. And the other guy is humble. And he's saying, you don't have to thank me. He says, that's not really the understanding of this conversation. There's a lot more going on between the lines that you have to read in. When a person does somebody a favor, he owes him so much. And he should really pay him back by doing him back lots and lots of favors when he needs it. But you don't want to be makir tayv because you don't want to feel mechuyav. Nobody wants to. So he figures if he'll say thank you a few times with a serious, and he'll make it sound like he's really serious about it, he's patur. He already paid up. Thank you, thank you. Oh, you see, I thanked you. But that's not really. You think saying thank you, yeah, thank you, thank you. Big. You owe so much. You should really go out of your way and owe him for the rest of your life to help, to repay him. What is the other guy? The other guy doesn't want you to say liftor et atzmecha im a thank you. He wants you to. So he tells you, no. It's not enough to thank. Don't just thank me. You owe me. He says, deep down, every person, whether even subliminally, might not even realize it, is a kafri taif. And he thinks, you know what, if I thank people, it's good enough. It's got to be deeper. If you understood really how much that guy did you a favor, thank you is really not enough. And the other guy is saying, please, don't just thank me. You know why? Please pay me when I need you. When I'm going to need you, I'm going to come to you. Tishael Mechuyav. That's Reb Yeruchim, the Mashkiach, the Musar, how he understood human nature. A person comes with his little bikurim. Yeah. He thinks, that's it. Yatzachov, you know, I paid Hashem back. You paid Hashem back. Ve'anisav amarta. Can't just be a thank you. Yeah, Hashem, thank you. It should be with your whole essence. You have to give it everything you got. Ve'anita v'amarta. From depth, from the core of you. You should scream, lahagid, baboy ker chazdecho, Hashem, how much I owe you. With this, I think we can explain a tremendous halacha from the pasuk that needs a lot of clarification, and most of the mefarshim speak about this question. It says you bring the bikurim. How do you bring the bikurim? Uvasa, it's pasuk gimel. Uvasa lakayin. We go to the kohen of that time. That will be in Bayomim Mohaim. Rashi explains, he brings from the Chazal, Ein lecha kohen she'ela she'biyamecha. Ein lecha ela kohen she'hu biyamecha. You come to the kohen, that's the kohen of your time. Well, what's the question? I mean, what, you expect to go to a kohen that's not, that what, that lived 100 years ago? Well, that's going to live in 500 years in the future. I mean, well, of course, you come to the Kayin that's there in your time. All the Mefarshim ask this question. I mean, you have to come to the Beis HaMikdash. But so you can come to a Kayin and turn back the clock and go to a Kayin from a few hundred years ago. Of course, it's Bayom Imahim, the Kayin that's Bayom Mecha, that's alive in your time. I think, Be'ez Hashem, I thank you, Hashem, just so I should be able to say Chidushim in your Hela Torah. I thank you, Hashem, for this. This is maybe how you pay me back for teaching your Torah, by showing me and giving me the chance to say nice Divrei Torah on the words of your Torah and your Brashi. Maybe that's Hashem pays me back. And I thank you for that also, Hashem. I think a person needs to learn to appreciate everything in his life. I don't have a kohen b'yamech. I don't have it. My Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. I don't have that. I can't come to the kohen and bring in my bikurim. We even today have an issue that when we have to make pidyon haben, we don't even know what to do with kayin because we don't know if they're muchsakim. And we search for kahanim that we know for sure are kahanim. That's painful. Even the fact that you have a kayin biyamecha, that you have a kayin to come to, that's also part of the thank you to Hashem. You need to appreciate everything in your life. That's the Kayin Biyamecha. A lot of times people say, oh, he's not like the Kayin from who knows, 100 years ago. This, a lot of people complain, oh, look at the Rabbanim today. They're not like the Rabbanim of the... That comes from Kfiyat HaTov. Because if you look positive, you would thank Hashem for the Rabbanim you do have. You would thank Hashem for the situation you have. Ein lecha ela kayin biyamecha. The Akaras HaTayiv is to thank Hashem for the kayin I have. Instead of thinking about the kayin that I would have had, wanted, I could have had 100 years ago, it's all part of the Bikurim, you hear? To thank Hashem for everything. I have who to go to. I have a kayin that will accept. Hashem, I thank you for every step, for everything that happens, for every little piece. Rashi brings down on the pasuk, what do we say? Arami oived avi. What's Arami? Arami is Lavan. Oived avi, right? He tried to destroy Yaakov. He tried to kill Yaakov. So Agav, I always say a beautiful pshat. How did Lavan bikesh la'akir es hakel? It says that Lavan tried to uproot everything. Interesting wording, la'akir. Say in the Haggadah, this pasuk. What is la'akir es hakel? He wanted to uproot. It's interesting words. It didn't say he wanted to lechalot, to destroy, but la'akir, to uproot. How did he want to uproot? I think Lavan understood that Klal Yisrael and its Hatzlacha is Achdus. Why did Lavan care so much, Leah with Rachel and Zilpah and Bilah? What was all this about? And could be he wanted that there should be inner fighting within the family. He wanted, I think it's a very true vart. It's a beautiful vart. I always say this vart. Yeah. He wanted that there should be fighting. And the truth is, it did cause fighting. Because there was sina between Yosef, the children of Rachel, and the children of Leah. He wanted the home and the Shvatim should fight, because he knew that that's the way, lakor, to uproot. Lavan bikesh, Lavan wanted. Pasha means he wanted to kill Yaakov, but it's more. He wanted to uproot the destiny of Yaakov and his children and Klal Yisrael by causing pirudim. And Baruch Hashem, maskir chazdei amokim, that it didn't work. It didn't work. What's chazdei amokim? And we say this in the Haggadah, says Rabbi Yeruchim, because today you're bringing Bikurim, right? A person's usually makir toiv, what's in front of him? I thank you, Hashem, my car, my house, my job, my children. How many people start thinking back, well, one minute, this is not from today. This is my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents and all the miracles that happened to them. Hakaras HaTayiv is not just to look at the present, what's in front of you today, and to thank, but to see the bigger picture. Rabbi Yeruchim calls it Hishtalshelus HaDvarim. How everything came to be, how everything came to happen. Hakaras HaTayiv. A narrow-minded person talks about what's here today in front of him. A real makir toiv starts to learn Rabbeinu Shloim. I look back. I might not have a Beis HaMikdash today, but I thank you for the Beis HaMikdash that once was. Because today I could have karbonis in the tefillah. I could daven karbonis. Maskir chazdei amakam. We began the share by saying Bikurim, it doesn't apply today. Or maybe it does apply today. Because it's about Akaras HaTayiv. It's about Hakaras HaTov. And Hakaras HaTov means that I look back and I look at the lineage, the history behind the years and years that led up to this year and this moment in front of me. And we have a beautiful lineage, Matan Torah, which came after Yetzias Mitzrayim, Avos. We're so lucky to be the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There's so much in Bikurim, and it doesn't take much. It's about appreciation. Bikurim applies today, maybe not in Maisa, but in Machshava, and what Bikurim stands for, it definitely applies today. I think we could say a very nice pshat. After the parsha Bikurim begins the parsha of Maaser and Vidui Maaser. What do we say by Vidui Maaser? We say like this: We Amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha biarti hakodesh min habayis. I took out all the trumas, the maaseris. I did everything I was supposed to do. Hashkifa, Hashem looked down from Shemayim. From your dwelling, your holy dwelling, and bless and bench Klal Yisrael. Do you know what this proclamation, when I come and I say, I did. Pasuk says he proclaims, "Shamati b'koyl Hashem elikoy, osisi k'choyl asher tzvisoni." I did everything you told me to do. Yeah. Rashi explains, what does it mean? Hevi'esu lebeis abchiro. I did exactly what you told me, and that was hashkif. I ask Hashem, like Rashi says, "Osinu mashe gazarta leinu." I did exactly what you told me to do. Hashem, I kept the mitzvahs. Do you know what this is called in Gemara, in Halacha? This proclamation when he comes and he says to Hashem, I gave all the trumais and maisrais, I gave my bikurim, I did everything I had to do. K'chol asher tzvisani. It's called Vidui Maisa. Vidui Maisa. Vidui. Of course, that's the question. Normally, you know what vidui is? Al-chei chachatasi, I didn't do. How could a person come and say vidui about something that he did do? That he did write? Unbelievable. Imagine a person comes Yom Kippur. Lo dibati lashon hara. Lo gazalti. You said I should say vidui. Okay, I'm saying vidui. That's what you're saying. You're saying, I did everything Hashem what you told me to do. So why is it called Vidui? All the Mefarshim ask us for a question. And there's many answers, because you have to know what the word Vidui means. Vidui means an open discussion with Hashem. And we're going to talk about this as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. In Kippur we say vidui. What is vidui? Lizvadot. To connect with Hashem in an open dialogue, open conversation. Abba, this is what I did. This is why I did it. I'm sorry. But I would give you a very nice teretz. And I think it's very, in Yiddish say, tzugepast. It's perfect for this year. I say to Hashem, I did everything you told me to do. Is that enough? Is that enough? Imagine a person comes and tells his father, yeah? He gave me a list of a few things to buy from the store. I did it okay, I did my errands, that's all, done. What does the father say? You owe me so much. That's to you a big thing, that you did exactly what I told you to do. There's a point of vidui that we come humbly to Hashem. We say, Rabbi Hashem, you told us to do this. We did it. But we know how much more we really should do. How much more we owe you. That's also vidui. Vidui is that a person recognizes kama mechuyav, how much he still owes. How far is he from being complete in what he owes and supposed to do for Hashem? It's also vidui. We tell Hashem, Asisa, I did exactly what you told me to do. I wish I could have done more. I really should have done more. I owe you so much more. Like the person in the story with Rabbi Yeruchim. Ani nishar mechuyav, Hashem. That's also vidui. It's also part of the aside of vidui. Rosh Hashanah. We come Rosh Hashanah, it's a time where we have machshava, thought. We make cheshbon. We're honest in the cheshbonot. Hashem, what you did for me this past year, and what did I do for you? Did I repay what I owe you? And of course, like I tell you, nobody comes up clean in this area, because we come short compared to what we really owe Hashem. But we come to tell this to Hashem that we're makir toiv. Hashkifo mima'ayin katshecha. You know when Hashem gives bracha? If we're makir toiv. Brought down in all the chazalim and all the rishonim that Hashem just says, appreciate. If you appreciate, I'll give you. If you don't appreciate, I'm not going to give you. Hashkifo mima'ayin katshecha. Look down, mima'ayin katshecha min hashamayim. Uvarech es amcha Yisrael, and bless Klal Yisrael. Why? Because even though we bring little, but at least we appreciate, and we're makir toiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This, I believe, would be a tremendous lesson and a tremendous advice on how to come Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, if you're going to keep the cheshbonos, you're right. We have nothing. How do we say it's lichais? We come with nothing. It's embarrassing what we come with, what we paid you. But at least what do we say? We say, inenu lechat tluyais. We know that everything comes from you. And the little bit that we do is just to show that we appreciate. And that you are the Kilecha Hashem Atzdok of Achesed. You're the one who's giving more than we're the ones who are giving back. Then Hashem says, Ashkif, I'll give you. Ubarech. And Hashem gives bracha. Learn to come Rosh Hashanah to be open with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're going to come and say, Hashem, give me the, say, Rabbi Yishlam, give me because you are Baal Chesed. Give me because I at least appreciate and understand. I appreciate and I understand that I owe you and that I appreciate what you give me. And with this, we'll talk about Zaycha that Hashem gives. Imoin Kachacha, Ubarech es Ami Yisrael, Kashinish Batal Avisayna.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.